This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Upcoming is part two of a three-part conversation with Rick Ramirez, the VP of Sustainability and Environmental Affairs at Shaw Industries.
You had mentioned earlier the cradle-to-cradle vision that the company has, turning basically carpet back into more carpet, and doing that over and over again. How far can this concept go potentially long-term? I mean, I suspect a great deal of the carpet that the company produces can ultimately be reprocessed in this cradle-to-cradle idea. I guess the question is, how far can this potentially go?
And I think that's the exciting part of the sustainability journey. And you look across it, the various industries and the efforts being made on cradle-to-cradle. But here at Shaw, it's tied into our whole innovation vision that's led by our innovation VP, Pete Sigmund. But Pete has incorporated sustainability criteria, sustainability factors into all product development, and we see a future. It may not be a year or five from now, but we see a future where all products potentially could be made under a cradle-to-cradle type philosophy, closed loop, where we're relying less on depletable resources to produce our products that can be recovered and made back into those products yet again. So it may not be around the corner, but I assure you that there is a future there that certainly envisions a cradle-to-cradle philosophy on everything we do and certainly the products that we produce.
Now, will that carry through, this cradle-to-cradle concept carry through to hard surface as well? I mean, I know you're making strides in both laminate and hardwood as we speak.
Yeah, I think that's a good example of a strategy where, you know, today our sustainability efforts on the hardwood surface side of our business is to first and foremost use wood from sustainable forests and suppliers that really ascribe to the types of certifications and programs to replenish those natural resources. That's key as a starting point. But in the case of the Epic Hardwood story, you know, we use one-third less of freshly harvested wood in that product. And the core of that product is made from a recycled product to give it dimensional stability and better performance characteristics. It's what we call EnviroCore. So, again, we're starting with a resource that in and of itself is something that we're saying is sustainable in the terms of buying it from sustainable suppliers, in that they're replenishing that resource and providing us wood under those programs. So it may not be fully cradle-to-cradle, but it's certainly a long way toward that.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if potentially, and again, we're speaking long-term here, definitely, but you have and you're in the throes now of building a network to collect post-consumer carpet. I suspect at some point it's possible that these hard surface products can be collected as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are, in fact, as you may know, another large investment which the company has made is in our plant, waste energy plant here in Dalton, where we, in fact, part of the feedstock for that plant to produce steam comes from post-consumer, post-industrial carpet, as well as wood flour, which is, you know, a byproduct of wood manufacturing. So even today, we're taking what would normally be a waste and converting into a useful resource, in our case, steam. So, again, you're right on the money with respect to how we're using wood and wood products to generate new products or, in this case, energy.
Uh-huh. It seems like sustainability matters and floor covering products have not really come together at this point in the residential arena. Certainly that has in a big way in the commercial side. I'm wondering if U.S. consumers are in a position at this point to buy floor coverings, carpet in specific at this point, that have an environmental story and perhaps have been recycled. Is that something you think, you know, that the floor covering consumer is in a position to buy at this point in time?
I certainly think so. When you look at all the national and even global surveys around consumer buying habits and consumer trends, well over 80% of the public, whether it's in the U.S. or even in other countries, all see the environment as a key issue. In terms of how that translated into consumer buying habits, you know, it's kind of all over the map, but certainly you saw it, you know, with the hybrid vehicles where people got pretty passionate about that as the price of gasoline went up. But we see it happening in the residential carpet side. In fact, we're making great strides through our marketing and sales organization, through our dealer network, through our other customers, to really promote and help customers differentiate our product versus others. And again, I think the green issue is, in fact, becoming a more and more of a criterion for consumers at all levels to factor into their buying decision. We're not going to give up technical performance, quality, or beauty. What we're saying is, in addition to all those things that you've always bought Shaw products for, you're also now going to be getting an added advantage around green attributes. And I think that's a very winning message, and one that we're certainly driving very hard into the marketplace with our customers and consumers, and certainly through our advertising campaigns.
I'm just wondering if there's some stigma, or you think there would be some stigma in the consumer world out there, having carpet that's produced from a post-consumer carpet. Obviously, they don't have a chemical background and understand how that's done. I'm just wondering if there'd be some sort of negative stigma that they might see in that.
I think we have to, as an industry and certainly as a company, specifically Shaw, has to educate our consumers and our customers around that issue. Again, as I said earlier, we're not sacrificing performance, quality, beauty of the product because we're introducing recycled content. And I think our cradle-to-cradle approach, Evergreen as the example of making brand-new carpet from caprolactam, just as Nylon 6 has always been made, I think it's a good demonstration that the consumer is not giving anything up to really benefit from an environmentally designed product. So I hope that message resonates with consumers, and we certainly are helping to promote that message through our campaigns, both on the commercial side, by the way, as well as the residential side.
Mm-hmm. Rick, let me just ask you your take on the whole corporate world in general. Now, I personally feel that most corporations are sincere when they talk about their environmental efforts and their approach to sustainability issues. But would it be safe to say that across the board, most corporations feel that if there isn't long-term profit in the picture, then environmentally preferred products just aren't going to be out there in the marketplace? I mean, it has to produce income over and above anything else. Would that be true to say?
I would say that, you know, the classic definition of sustainability ties together economic performance, social performance, and environmental performance. And all those three things have to be in balance. And I think that's the real challenge for all corporations and the balance we're certainly striving for here at Shaw. So our three pillars, as I alluded to them earlier, are really driving on all three of those tracks. You know, what we do, how we do it, who we are, and how we produce products has to all, you know, add up to business performance. So I think companies are finding out far and wide that sustainability makes good business sense. And really simple examples around energy conservation and the incredible impact that's having to our bottom line, water usage reduction, mm-hmm. and how that benefits not just the environment, but again, our economic situation. So there's many and multiple examples of where these three factors are, in fact, paying off for businesses. So I think that's going to propel more and more companies to join us in really driving forward and offering more and better green products, and ourselves behaving in a green way in terms of how we manufacture and how we operate. So I think the payoff is there. Obviously, again, it does have to meet financial criteria for us to continue to sustain ourselves and continue to produce the good products that we make.
Even though that profit may be down the road several years.
Exactly, and I think so that's a good example of how the investments we've made so far in Evergreen, just as the example. Today, that plant is not at full capacity yet, but it's investment for the future. As that plant comes up to speed, you know, we will in fact be recovering more and more post-consumer carpet, producing more and more caprolactam to make Nylon 6. So you've got to make investments for the future. I think Shaw's done that through the Evergreen plant, through the waste energy plant, through the product development and offerings that it's made already. So again, these are investments for the future. They're good now and they're good going forward. So we really have seen the payback and certainly anticipate further returns on our many and many investments.
Talk about some of the process maybe is what I'm interested in. you've got people in manufacturing, you've got people in R&D, and to help them focus more on sustainability in the development of products. How specifically might that happen?
You know, here's where we're using our many and multiple talented teams. You know, we have teams in operations that look at all the operating factors, everything from safety in our plants through energy conservation, through water usage. Those teams are have been and will continue to work toward, again, achieving specific goals and that have specific savings attached to them. In our product development and marketing teams, they're looking at products today and into the future to say, what are the products, what can we do to improve those products today, but also how can we design those products for the future that are even more and more requested by our customers. And on the human resource side, you know, all the things we're doing to promote and recruit and retain our talent is key to sustainability. We have to have talent today and into the future that understands some of these dynamics. So really, the way we're implementing all of these initiatives and these programs is through the work teams, both in the functional administrative areas as well as operations and in our customer marketing side of the business. So it's really, again, permeates through our whole organization. Through these teams with clear goals and objectives, we're going to be able to deliver results over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rick, I noticed in your bio that you have a chemistry degree. Is that something you're going to call on, you think, a good deal here?
I hope so. I hope it wasn't 4 years ill spent, but I'm real proud of that technical background. I also have a master's degree in environmental issues. So again, the technical background and the operational background of having worked in plants and business side of things really helps to understand kind of how things work. I would encourage many of the youth listening to take chemistry in high school and college. I think it's a great field to have some recognition around.
Well, it seemed like it would really be valuable to you in this new role here. And
it is. You know, it's interesting. You know, chemistry is all around us, and everything we do and everything we produce and everything we touch has some chemical aspect to it. So understanding a little bit of how molecules work is certainly an advantage. But again, I think, taking all of that technical knowledge and propelling it into a business strategy, to me, is really the key attribute that, hopefully we bring to the table.
Uh-huh. Now, would it be safe to say that over the next few years, and you alluded to this a little bit earlier, just to prepare the marketplace for sustainable products, does that mean an advertising program, even perhaps an advertising program of some size, just to ready the marketplace for sustainable floor covering products?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Dave, because aside from the advertisement and all the materials that go out to our dealer and customer network, there's planned a fall national campaign, both print and television, to help promote some of the things we're doing under the Shaw Green Edge that really benefits consumers and our community. So you'll be seeing a lot more of that, and we hope that you'll be back in touch with us as we roll out that campaign. But we have several various channels that we're going to be promoting this message and helping people understand and differentiate us from others and help them to pick Shaw products first time, often.
Well, from our conversations with retailers on this program, it seems to me that, and again, this isn't scientific by any means, but most retailers seem to be in a position to really want to work towards sustainability and play a role.
I agree, and I think they're trying to find what's the best way to explain it to their customers, and we're doing, again, through our materials that we send to our marketing organization, and through our marketing organization to our customers, really help the consumer understand so they can differentiate these products as they're making those types of buying decisions. Mm-hmm. But again, I think we really want to make sure that the people, as they enter the different forums they might go to buy products, that they take a look at some of these materials that are at the point of sale that help them really explain what we're doing and why it's beneficial for them.
This is going to conclude the second part of a three-part conversation with Rick Ramirez, the VP of Sustainability and Environmental Affairs at Shaw Industries. This is Floor Radio.